Good to see everybody. Allah. With live streaming these days, that seems a bit ambiguous, doesn't it? Whatever you're doing up there and out there. So for these next couple of weeks, we're talking about reset. And the message I'm going to share this morning is sort of part one of two. And next week, if you're here, we're going to get quite tech savvy. So be prepared and be warned. It's going to be quite interesting if it works. Reset. So let me just sort of move through this sort of fairly quickly, because there's a real key bit that I want to get to this morning before leaving it for next week. In many areas of church life here, particularly in a leadership context, we often talk about the why and the how. Not just the process that we're going through and the decisions and the steps that we're putting down, but obviously at the beginning of it all, why is this happening? It's visionary language. And I want to set hopefully a very clear vision. As we have chatted as a leadership team over these next couple of weeks, we're not launching any massive great projects or throwing stuff out there to really sort of new and fresh. Actually, what we're doing is collecting together a sense of where we believe God has particularly shaped us as we've gone through the pandemic, and now here we are some time beyond that, where we sit now as a church and how we see the workout of worship and faith for us as a community of faith, not just in here, but out there in the world in which we spend the bulk of our time. So here's a great definition that I really like about vision. It's a clear image of a preferable or preferable, depending where you're from, a clear image of a preferable future. I think the thing is, though, when we're talking in language of vision, the whole concept of it is seeing something. So it's okay, us as a leadership team sitting and praying and talking and planning and doing all this sort of stuff, but we believe that together as a whole body of people, there's something we need to see, so that how and why language, when things happen, when we plan things, when we invite you to things, when we invite you to be part of something, that the how of it, there's an understanding that the greater goal is that we've got a preferred future that we want to walk together, and we want to walk together, but individually in our individual lives. And so that's why it's important over these next couple of weeks that we all, it's not just us saying this is where we're going, and you go, oh great, enjoy yourselves, here's a bit of money and a bit of time towards it, but actually together we grasp something, and that will motivate our inner lives to really sort of take hold of the purpose of why God has called us and put his spirit and life within us. You see, let's kick off by saying sin has infiltrated every area of life and society, sadly. And Jesus comes, and in the many statements and many pictures that he paints, there's a sense of underlying theme of verse. If you know the Bible, that we often quote, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. And he adds to it, and life to the full. He even gave his life so that the blueprint that God has laid out is actually reachable for each one of us, whatever our story is. That means, if I understand the invitation of Christ right, that every human being, every Christian, every church must be given the opportunity to reach their full potential. And that's what this is about for you personally, you with your husband, wife, partner, family, whoever's sort of around you, but us collectively as a church. Therefore, as part of our vision statement says, we are here to grow a community, not simply build a congregation. Community. It has your heart in it. That's why we talk about partnership, joining together in whatever context you use that word partner. in a business sense, in a romantic sense. There's a joining together, a commitment of joys, of sorrows, of finance, of emotion, of goals, of all the things that make life what it is. And so community has our heart in it as a place of healing, a place of growth, a place of strength. And where the emphasis is going to come now is a place of mission. And a time to focus particularly on that side in the society in which we live. So let's get a bit, hopefully, biblical about this. Here is the Jesus and the Apostle Paul, how and why. Here's Matthew chapter 5, it'll be on the screen in a second. Let me tell you, Jesus said, why you are here. Yep. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth, you and I. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Or here's another way to put it, Jesus said. You're here to be light, boom, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand, and now I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand. Shine, keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. How and why, summed up in a few verses as part of this great Sermon on the Mount. But it didn't stop there as we read on into the New Testament. I'm picking another verse here, and there's many. Paul wrote this great, I don't know really what you call it, this great piece of literature to the Roman Christians. And he got hold of this how and why in the existence of our lives and purpose. So he says this in Romans chapter 8. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Then embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Vision. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So, you regulars, you've heard me say it 1,000 times, part of the invite, we often refer to the idea that we've invited Jesus into our lives. Nothing wrong with that. But I think the bigger picture is that God has invited us to be a part of His kingdom. And God's view on that invitation rollout between us is that we've not simply enlisted God's help in our broken lives, but that He has enrolled us to be part of His cause. Let me say that again. God's view in that invitation is that we have not simply enlisted God to help with our broken lives, but He has enrolled us to be part of His cause. You see, as disciples, we are called to be loyal to Christ in our personal and in our private lives, but also to live out the implication or the implications of Christ's lordship in our public lives. Here's a little diagram that, again, some of you have seen before. Some of you may not have done. If you read some of our literature or go on the website, this is on there. The gathered scattered diagram. This is a little simple pictorial representation of us if you're a believer in Christ. The one on the right, gathered. Few red dots in the corner there. Us, now, church. The one on the other side is you and I outside of this morning before we gather together in life groups and wherever during the week. That's our scattered lives. So let me just refer to this briefly. Our gathered lives, church, where we want to create access ramps that develop nurture, support, and equip us, more of that in a minute, as we serve God's purposes wherever we find ourselves. Scattered. The bit there where we'll be tomorrow, and we'll talk about that a lot more sort of next week, but listen to this. God working his purposes for the world through the everyday actions of you and I. Not us sitting to one side, hoping that God will sovereignly just do this, that, and t'other. And we applaud him and say, God, you're just great. That does happen sometimes. But the bulk of the momentum of what God wants to do in the work out of his plan for the salvation of the world is that he works through you and I in our everyday lives. So we're going to see this morning and next week, I'm not going to drag this out too long, that this whole idea of gathered and scattered comes together in sort of perfect harmony to help us be all that God wants us to be. You see, if we're talking about mission, that's simply you and I ready to be a blessing. Again, language we've used many times. We are blessed to be a blessing. It's the mission that God has called us to. It's the cause that I referred to earlier on that he's invited us to be part of. I'll wear the t-shirt next week, 168. If you're new to Life Church, you've probably seen that on a fair bit of our communication. Not a complicated thing. It's the hours between 10 to 11 on Sunday the 11th of September and 10 to 11 on Sunday the 18th of September. It's the week ahead. So when we finish the services, often we do and say, hey, may God bless your 168. That's not just clever sort of coded like, dee-dee. It's during the week that you've got wherever you find yourself. There's the mission of God working in you and through you constantly. Ready to be a blessing, to be part of the missional invitation that God has put to us. So we've called this reset. Sorry, camera. And if any of you looked and sort of gone, what is this here? It's not the idea. I'm going to preach that long that you might need to stay around for a bit. We were talking together as a, sorry, Fiona. We were talking together as a leadership some time ago that ignited all of this. And as we were talking and praying, this very simple picture was shared in what we would term as a sort of vision, a dream, a prophetic picture, whatever language you want to put around it. In our prayer, we believe this is what God gave us. And Juliet sat there and she just painted this picture. And she said, I see a table, a dining table, ordinary like we all have in our own homes. And it's clear. But then somebody's walked into the room with a tray, with fresh and clean crockery and cutlery, so that the table might be reset. Boom, I got there. And that's a picture that we want to paint. Because read into it what you will, this table in some ways, I guess, represents church. The dining table that you have at home, it's a bit of a focal point, I guess, without overstating it. It's where we sit, it's where we eat, it's where we chat, it's where we laugh, it's where family come together. Sometimes it's where plans and plots are made. But each time that we eat and then we move away, we don't want these dirty cups and plates and everything the next time we come, because we'd all do a little bit of a like, yuck. But these cups and plates and cutlery and crockery, they're potentially, well, they were new at some point, but they're not new. That's the whole idea. This is stuff that we've had that's part of our possession that we wash and clean and we put out again and reset it for the next meal, the next gathering of however it might be. Just hold that vision. That's what we believe and that's what we see with what we are saying this morning and as we roll it into next week. Not a time for new, fresh, big plans, programs, but a time for us to clean the crockery and the cutlery, to sit down at the table again and be able to talk and laugh and chat and plot and plan and eat. So that from this table, from this church, we go out then and live the life that we do, fulfilling all that our role calls us to do. So reset. Over this last couple of years, one or two things have been added, I guess. By that, I mean things like we never live streamed our services before the pandemic, and now it's just part and parcel of what we do. But in the resource, just try and picture this, because I don't want to, like I say, labour this out, but I want to just hit you with something great. You see, if this is the mission of God through us, that we are called to be a blessing and our daily lives count beyond just coming here and doing what we do, we want as much as we possibly can to equip us all that we might live with intention and purpose in that 168, or take church out of it, 166. Bingo. What is the resource that is here? Let me list them and then very quickly just you know, pull them together. There's Sunday, there's the gathering like this, that for many years, for some of us who have been around church more than, you know, a while, you know, we've got, I don't know, a signed copy of the Old Testament or something like that. We met Abraham. Church has been the epicenter of our faith. As in the gathered community on a Sunday, we come together and miss that and you've missed everything. That's, even though I became a Christian as a teenager, not in a Christian family, for years that really was. That was the epicenter of it all. Miss it, miss out. Snooze, you lose, and all that sort of thing. Now, I'm not saying for 1 minute, we're not saying that this is not important. We believe it's vitally important. But important as a resource, along with a number of other things. That's why we've reshaped it and refocused it. So the resource is Sunday as we gather together. The resource is our life groups during the week that we've said over and over again, if you're part of Life Church, we want you. It's not an invitation, it's almost a, I won't say a command, an expectation. Because we believe it's part of the resource to equip you to be the blessing that we believe we're all called to be, if you're getting this picture of why and how. So Sunday, life groups, the live stream for people who physically can't get along on a Sunday or are working or have got kids that are ill and can't make it out. There's that whole catalogue of stuff. I would suggest here now, not just because I can't be bothered and the bacon smells good. We did that, didn't we, for a year? So Sunday, life groups, live stream, our youth and kids program. Please never say it's a babysitting service. May you be struck down. Everybody still? Okay, still breathing? Check it. The kids and youth team and during the pandemic employing Connor to be our youth guy. What's that all about? It's not just doing what all churches do. It's part of the resource. So that the great crowd of kids that we prayed over last week and the teenagers might get hold of the adventure of the discipleship of the mission that God has called them to do. Not just, you know, you can listen to me without being distracted. God, no! Sunday life groups, live stream, youth and kids program, our whole care team, the prayer appointments, the looking out for people that goes on. Let's include Alpha in this as well as the introductory point for so many people into faith. Put all these together. And what we are saying this morning is that is a resource. to equip you and I to live the missional life that God has called us to live. So the why, that's taken direct from the verses that I read earlier on, that we haven't just invited God and enlisted him to be a part of our broken lives, but actually he's called us to see life through his kingdom and to share that with other people, to bring them along on the journey. So it's vital. If you are going to live a full and true and satisfying Christian life, that you are fully resourced in every way, shape and form. And I invite you, read the New Testament, see in the light of what I'm saying this morning, and see how it rolls out, see how Paul and the other writers talk around this idea of us as being equipped. We're not just like, I've got a badge that says I'm a Jesus man. But actually, I'm God's missional partner in the office, in the classroom, in the school, wherever I find myself, me and God partnering together. And I understand what that means and how I represent God, because the place that I'm affiliated to is helping me and resourcing me and empowering me, not ignoring the energy of the Holy Spirit that takes all that and uses our words and our thoughts and our prayers. So if the gathered church is the resource network to help us all flourish in the way of Jesus, then the scattered church are the locations where those skills are primarily put to use. And if you get hold of that, you get hold of the fact that there is intention and purpose for your life, for your home, for your marriage. The reset is a call. It's an invitation to us all, not just to get hold of a picture and say, yeah, that all makes sense. I hope it does. If not, I'll start again. But actually to take hold of something that's a vision for your life, that you say, I want to be part of this. I want to understand the reason why God has taken hold of me. Trace the great people of the Bible who at times were a bit like, what? Then they understood. Mary, when the angel comes to her and a biology lesson has not helped her understand what is being said to her here and now. But she gets the idea that what's going to happen inside my womb has got a purpose to it. I get the why. Now, even though I'm asking a few questions, I get the how. Help me to knit that together. And then this little light of mine, you're going to make it shine. I'm going to leave it there. And we're going to venture on a bit more interactively with this next week. But let me just close this before I invite Rob and Sarah just to come up and lead us in another song. How and why? A clear image of a preferable future. Please begin to see it. And begin to see the individuality of your part within that. The missional nature of God's seed in your heart and life. And then milk all that you can from the gathered side of Life Church or whatever church. Take all you can, grow those friendships, build those relationships. They're all empowering to you. There's nothing better than in a life group. You're hearing a story of somebody's been through hell and you think, God, I'd have never survived that. But they did, because God helped them. And even though you might not have a story to share with somebody, you can say, you know, I know somebody who, just the way that that inspires and equips and resources us to be the people that God wants us to be. So, as Rob and Sarah come up, let me read again the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5, Gene. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out, listen to this, the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Yep. You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Or here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven.